So we thank God. We thank God for all of you, and we're going to go ahead and pray so we can get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight and study the word of truth. We pray as we study tonight that saints in the body of Christ and those who are listening in will be encouraged and enlightened. We thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the good news. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get into our lesson tonight, my brothers and sisters. But first I want to say this tonight. We thank God for all those pastor, preachers, and teachers of God's word, right, divided. We are ambassador for Christ, preaching and teaching the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, my brothers and sisters. My prayer, just like many others, is that saints will do what God instructed us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. I know that's what Pastor Jennings was speaking on Sunday. It's imperative, it's important that we study God's word, God's way, and that is rightly divided. I'm grieved in my spirit when I see all my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ go through all the heartaches, confusion, pains, and disappointments from not rightly dividing the word of truth. Once again, I'm going to say that again. I'm grieved in my spirit, my brothers and sisters, when I see all our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ go through all the heartaches, confusion, pains, and disappointments from not rightly dividing the word of truth. And 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, for this is good and acceptable sight our God, our Lord, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. My brothers and sisters, what God has to say to us, we must remember there's a different word from what he told the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. The Jesus said in the four Gospels and the 12 apostles said in the early parts of Acts, it is important to understand how our Christian life operates as non-Israelites, as Gentiles living during today's dispensation of grace of God, and as a member of the church of the body of Christ. If we want to be spiritually edified, in other words, built up, strengthened, and spiritually perfected, mature, we need to study and believe the truth, what God has given to us. Pauline epistles, Ephesians 4:12. God wants to establish our Christian life and inner man by using a 3-4 process. God wants us to understand the life that he has given to us in Christ Jesus so that we can better understand what he is doing today. And then, my brothers and sisters, we can, by faith, follow him and do the same. This is how we discover and do God's will for our lives. Paul wrote in Romans 16:25-26, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. Notice the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, is the foundation of the Christian life, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. This is the Paul epistles, Romans through Philemon, the sound doctrine, truth, building materials, which we use to build on that foundation. The scriptures of the prophets, this is all of the holy scriptures in light of the doctrines revealed to Paul. This is why studying the Bible, right and divided, is so important. We study all of the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, but we follow the design of Christian edification as laid out in Romans 16:25-26. If we refuse to follow the dispensation layout of Scripture, and most people do refuse it, then we will be going against what God is doing today, and our Christian lives will be powerless, which is why Christendom is in such pitiful shape. Some will accuse you of only studying Paul's epistles. No. Paul wrote this below. All of the Bible is God's word. So we study all 66 books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelations. But unlike most churches and professing Christians, we study the entire Bible according to the revelation of the mystery. In light of the Pauline epistles, Romans through Philemon, all of the Bible is for us. But not all of the Bible is to us, and not all the Bible is about us. Remember, 75% of the Bible is written to and is about the nation of Israel, not us. Go and check it for yourself. Be a Berean. Go and search the scripture for yourself and see who God is talking to. We follow God's design for Christian edification, and we seek God's approval, not man's approval. 2 Timothy 2:15. Never, ever rely on the words of someone, including me, without consulting God's word and studying it yourself, right in the divided. So that's why when we get into our study tonight, what prayer is and what prayer is not, and we're going to have some great, great, great topic as we go through prayer. Many saints in the body of Christ, they really don't know what to pray and how to pray. Now, if you listen to the average prayer meeting or attend church services where requests are made, 90 to 95% of them will involve sick or dying individuals. Dear friends, we must most definitely should pray for sick people, for that is caring and respectful action to take. But here is where it's most important. We need to be sure that we pray in accordance with what God is doing today in the dispensation of his grace. What is God's attitude as we lay this foundation work for this topic on prayer? What is God's attitude towards sickness, difficulties, and troubles? That is the view we need to adopt. And then we will pray in light of that divine viewpoint. Firstly, prayer is simply talking to God and speaking the doctrine that he has taught us in his holy word, rightly divided. The Bible, Lamentations 2:19, describes prayer as pouring out thy heart like water before the face of the Lord. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out of your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. No matter what the dispensation, prayer is always the believer talking to God in light of his word to that believer. That is why dispensational Bible study is ever so important. We need to know what God told us so that we can know what to tell him. God speaks to us through his written word, and we speak his written word back to him through prayer. When the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, it is teaching us to notice and show the difference between the various distinctions in God's word. There are assorted instructions given through the Bible timeline. Those instructions are given to different people at different times. Not everything in the Bible is to or about us. That's why when you read in your Bible over in Deuteronomy, Exodus, those books, and you hear what God tell Moses, speak to the children of Israel. That's who God is talking to. It's not for us to build a doctrine around. Not everything is in the Bible is about us or to us, about us or to us. What we need to understand is that Paul is our apostle. There has been spokespersons. God has had spokesmen all down through different dispensations. Noah was his spokesperson in his day. Moses, Jesus and the 12, John the Baptist doing his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. And to us in the dispensation of grace, Apostle Paul. So Paul speaks on behalf of the risen, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus Christ have to tell us? We find it in the Pauline epistles, the Bible books of Romans through Philemon. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37. We need to see how Paul's epistles dress address sickness, suffering, and hardships. That would enable us not only to pray for sick and suffering people, but would also allow us to cope with our own illnesses, problems as well. It will revolutionize the way we have been taught to think about them in religious circles. Our prayer lives need to be completely revamped, that they match the doctrines of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. This is the key to avoiding deception concerning prayer. As 2 Corinthians 14:6-16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our inward outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Bible says that our outward man is perishing. Our physical bodies are growing older and weaker, closer to dying, actually. Nevertheless, our inward man is renewed day by day. This is our spiritual body, our soul, and our spirit. God's indwelling Holy Spirit interacts with our spirit, giving us spiritual life through the divine words that we read. Then we can take that doctrine, that teaching, and believe it in our heart, down in our soul, allowing the Holy Spirit to take us and conform our lifestyle to match that word of God. He is working in our inner man as we walk by faith. He's working in our inner man with what's going on with the pandemic, the coronavirus. God is working in our inner man in these simple truths. Our circumstances do not have to destroy us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, which many are allowing it to do, the circumstances. It is also sad to say, but most true believers have allowed superstition to deceive them, especially concerning prayer. I used to be one such believer. Let me give you some common superstitious prayers. Oh Lord, guide the surgeon's hand, that the operation may be a success. God, let her come out of this coma. Let her make a full recovery. May you quickly heal this person of this disease, this illness, this infirmity, or whatever else we're praying for. I say this gently and with godly love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. But the above is not the right way to pray for sick people. It will only lead to disappointments. Friends, precious reader, God never promised us, listen to this, the body of Christ, not the nation of Israel, but us in the body of Christ today in the dispensation of grace, these things. We should not expect these things, and we should not pray for these things. There is no verse in Paul's epistles that promise us good health. Look at yourself. And then we're going to get into one more thing before we close tonight. I want to tell you, look in your medicine cabinet, my brothers and sisters. There is no verse, I said, in Paul's epistles that promise successful surgeries and full recoveries. We should not ask for something he never gave us. Many believers die of some type of medical problem. Some Christians spend their whole life suffering complications from botched surgeries. There may be no cure for their condition. They may take medication for the rest of their lives. Does God not love them? My brothers and sisters, may I lovingly submit. We cannot make God do something he's not doing. God is God. And rather than trying to force him to do something, we need to recognize what he is doing and go pray for that. These truths will set you free from religious bondage. Please let them. We need to see how the Apostle Paul prayed, and which we will, because when we get done in the final message of this, we're going to look at Paul's model prayers and how he prayed and what he prayed for. If anyone knew what God was doing today in the dispensation of grace, it would be the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, would it not? Now, you know, folks keep praying and praying and praying, And then you got on the other side where you got saints with all these medications that they have to take. So the question tonight is a Christian a poor testimony for taking medication? Now, as Christians in the body of Christ, many suffer from illness like depression, Alzheimer's, dementia. Many are battling cancer and many more. Many have been diagnosed with a chemical imbalance and have been given prescriptions for antidepressants. Many may be asking, is that a poor testimony for Christians to take this medication? After all, many think about the Bible where it says, be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6. And many believe God in his word is prohibiting them from taking their different medications. Many continue to try and fight their conditions by themselves without medicine. And they continue to ask the Holy Spirit to help them overcome these varieties of illnesses. Many go to healing meetings to get healed of their illnesses. Is this wise or dangerous? Should a Christian take medication for depression or other illnesses? Many Christians have built a prayer life around praying for their physical healing from certain passages of scripture in the Bible. And we're going to get one of those main scriptures Friday next week where they go and get this physical healing. And they don't seek out medical health. Many, if honest, have said they believe in praying for their physical healing. Now catch this. All the while their medicine cabinet is full of medicine. I remember the time I was talking to this preacher who was walking on a cane. And he believed in the power of praying and healing, laying his hand on folks. And he was standing there on a cane, barely could walk, and telling me that he was getting ready to go help another church member with their healing. You looking at him like, what? What he just said? He going to help somebody with their healing, and he on a cane. Look at that. That's what it looked. That's. Do you wonder how and what it looked like, my brothers and sisters? Now, they got a cabinet full of medicine, but they going around preaching, healing the sick, raising the dead. They will argue down that God has provided us physical healing for us saints in the dispensation of grace. And like I said, we're going to get the scripture of where a lot of them are getting this teaching from. All the while, like I said, they medicine cabinet full of medicine. Now, they will argue down that God has provided us physical healing for us saints in the dispensation of grace. But what said the scriptures? Now, while I would certainly agree we should let the Holy Spirit use sound doctrine, Bible doctrine, to renew our minds, we must use godly wisdom that comes from God's word and know that there are certain medical conditions that limited us, some more than others. For example, Christians suffering from mentally debilitating diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia, for example, are very limited in their Christian experience. Please note that God does not miraculously cure their conditions, as they have very poor mental health. They may not even remember anything, my brothers and sisters, about their testimony. Even though they are Christians, they are unable to think normally and clearly. And they may not even remember, like I said, anything about their testimony, the Bible or God. Many times they may not remember their loved ones and friends. You might call them on the phone and they don't know who you are. And some days you might call and they might catch your voice and know who you are. It is not their fault. They live in a sin-cursed world like the rest of us with these illnesses that came in because of sin in the garden. Many Christians' quality of life and faculties have diminished and will continue until they go home and be with the Lord in heaven. That is the ultimate healing, my brothers and sisters. As Paul said, it is far better to be absent, rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Now, for those listening tonight, with these illnesses, it's not a spiritual problem. It's a physical problem with those diseases I just named in the physical brain. In the case of physical sickness, we must appeal to God's other provision for help, namely medical knowledge and medicine. Yes, it can be sad to see our loved ones and friends struggle with all of these debilitating diseases and illnesses. Sad to see people struggle with it. Again, these diseases are very devastating conditions. If we Christians have to take medication, there is nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. We all have our various frailties and sicknesses. Cancer, arthritis, high blood pressure, poor eyesight, memory loss, birth defects, depression, loss of hearing, injuries due to accidents, and so on. These are our bodies wearing down. It is called age. With every passing day, there is a new concern. For those of you in your senior years, there are a few more aches and groans as the days pass. But we do not have to be miserable. Father God expects us to wear glasses, hearing aids, do physical therapy, and taking advantage of whatever medication is available, and use wise decisions when it comes to food. High blood pressure, we shouldn't be eating pork every day. Diabetes, eating all the sweets you can, diabetics. Now, sometimes surgery, although extreme, is the only viable choice. We must make the best decision we can with what resources we have available. Again, there is nothing to be ashamed of and embarrassed about. Friend, take your medications and be grateful to God that His creation has provided their ingredients. The sad part is that many continue to pray for that miraculous healing while witnessing their loved ones or friends dying. They are praying for that physical healing because they believe that God's word told them to pray for it. We will discuss those things and where they come from and where they got those beliefs later on in our studies. We need to consider 1 Timothy 3:5-23. Paul told Timothy to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Pastor Timothy had a number of often infirmities. His most troubling one evidently was related to his stomach. The water he was drinking was obviously polluted, which in turn caused him chronic sickness. Consequently, Apostle Paul discouraged him from consuming additional water. Rather, Timothy was instructed to not drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and his other weaknesses. Now, many have taken that scripture and abused it. Notice he said a little wine. Did you catch that? So many folks have abused that scripture and using a lot of wine. The wine had some medical value and was all Timothy had available to him. By the way, if it was a poor testimony for a Christian to resort to medical care, then we are forced to say that the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul encouraged Pastor Timothy to be a poor testimony as well. With the Holy Spirit have endorsed sin in the life of a pastor of all Christians. Think about it. The Christians taking medications are poor testimony. Arguments make no sense. No, it's not a sin for a Christian to visit a medical doctor and take medication. Again, Paul encouraged Timothy to resort to medication. Now, furthermore, there was even a Christian doctor in the Bible, Luke, the beloved physician. Colossians 4:14. Luke must have been the poorest testimony of all because he habitually dispensed medical advice and medication. On the contrary, it would be sin for a Christian not to seek medical help. Friends, we should take care of our physical bodies as best as we can. Since we have believed our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our bodies belong to God. Now, you can read that in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Science can help us. Sometimes it cannot, no matter what we do. However, these physical bodies are still perishing. We should not be overly concerned, irrationally fixated on trying to salvage them and prolong their duration for decades more. Sometimes the illnesses get to the point where the doctors and medicine can do no more, and the family have to make a heart-wrenching decision to take a loved one off of a machine. This is where a lot of saints walk away disappointed and angry with God because they have been praying for that miraculous healing and it didn't take place. Many were walking around believing and quoting prayers that's not in line with what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. Many haven't read, my brothers and sisters, many haven't read or been taught about the good news that we are not confined to these vile bodies forever. As I close tonight, one day, praise God, we will receive a new glorified body like Jesus Christ's glorious body. That is the event we call the rapture, our gathering together unto Christ. Paul talks about that in Philippians 3:20-21. Go and read it. Those resurrected bodies are described in 1 Corinthians 15:35-48. Go and read it for yourself. We should take advantage of whatever quality medical care our parts of the world offers. If medication or proper medical care are unavailable and we must suffer pain because of sickness or injury, then God's grace is more than enough to get us through. Beloved, he will carry us along for the rest of our life. Our infirmities does not have to destroy us. Paul tells us about those in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Go and read it, and you'll see that God's grace is sufficient. My brothers and sisters, eventually the infirm who couldn't have been easily cured die at the hands of those so-called preachers who are out there, these faith healers. Many are dying at their hands. It is very important. We must settle this in our thinking because affairs are understand these Bible verses. And dispensation change has caused people in the faith healing community to risk and sometimes lose their lives. They deprive their church members of medical cures, allowing them to remain untreated and urging them rather to have faith in God for physical healing. Eventually, infirm who could have been easily cured die at the hands of these so-called preachers and teachers of God's word. Such is our lot, spiritual insanity, if we fail to use God's word, God's way. Since we do not understand the Bible dispensationally, people mindlessly grab physical healing verses from years of program, and they try to stick them onto us. They do not understand Paul is the apostle, Romans 11:13. They do not understand that we live in the dispensation of grace of God, Ephesians 3:2. We are separate and distinct from Israel's earthly blessings and earthly kingdom, my brothers and sisters. The temporary physical healing miracles associated with Christ's earthly ministry in the early Acts period in Hebrews through Revelation are currently suspended. God is doing something different today. Even the faith healers are forced to recognize this when they themselves grow sick, old, and eventually die like the rest of us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, that they were built up in understanding as we go through this study what prayer is and what prayer is not, that they will be encouraged as we go through what we're going through in this day and time, that you continue to strengthen us in our inner man with your words of comfort and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.